Welcome to the Behavior Corner Podcast with Barb Rova. Barb created the Behavior Corner after almost two decades of working side by side with families to improve their children's behavior. This is a supportive place for parents to come together to learn how to manage powerful emotions, negative behavior choices, and the chaos that we experience along our parenting journeys. In the Behavior Corner, we share professional, practical, and positive parenting advice. These are the tools that will give you a strong foundation to make positive behavior changes in your children a reality. Get ready. This is going to be great.
Welcome to this edition of the Behavior Corner. Today in the corner, we are talking about coping skills. Specifically, we are talking about age-appropriate coping skills. So no matter the age of your child, you are going to be able to match up some coping tools with your child's personality, your child's age, and the dynamics of your family will also go into the creation of what coping skills can help us when we are feeling like our emotions are heightened, when we're sad because we didn't get things to go our way, when we're mad, when we're frustrated, when we need some time to cope. We will be able to use our coping skills, and you will be able to teach these skills to your kids. They will have fun using them, and yes, even if you have little ones, toddlers especially can start learning coping tools to use within their life. Now, they will need your support, of course, but the younger you start with this, the better off things will be. What we call emotional regulation is exactly what will get better quicker, especially if you start when your child is young. Because when our kids start seeing and learning and practicing how to cope when things aren't going well for us, it helps to build our ability, their ability, to regulate their emotions. So a huge piece of emotional regulation comes down to being able to cope with what's going on and have tools accessible to do so. And yes, this is a life skill, people. We as adults need coping skills. Every day of our life, whether we're driving a car or we're going to work, we need to know how to cope when things get stressful, when we need to solve problems. Coping is a huge part of that, and we need to have coping in place. Our ability to manage what is going on in our life will dictate how successful we are, how we're getting along with other people, how we're able to solve problems. The list goes on and on. And my friends, it is no different for your kids. They need this as a life skill so they too can find success and have fruitful relationships and have a career where they can problem solve and get along with their colleagues. And this is not going to happen on its own. Kids don't just automatically one day wake up and they have all these coping skills ready to go. No, they're going to learn it somewhere. And they will learn positive and negative coping along life's journey. So you need to ask yourself, are you going to be the one that will be teaching them how to cope, how to react to a stressor? And will those examples be positive or negative? Will they be using positive coping skills or negative coping skills when they are feeling heightened or they're feeling stressed? And you know what? Only you can answer that question. And I guarantee you, a lot of us have some negative coping skills going on that we're modeling for our kids that maybe we don't even realize they're picking up on. For example, do you try to solve problems by yelling at someone? How's it work? Probably not so great, right? People don't like to be yelled at. So if you're yelling at someone, it's much less likely you're going to be able to solve that problem amicably, right? So this is another negative coping skill that some adults use, drinking. Having a stressful day and I'm going to drink. Even if it's one or two glasses of wine, no big deal, right? Well, your kids are seeing that and they're learning. Okay, so when I get stressed, I can turn to alcohol to help me. Just keep that in mind. Totally no judging. But as parents, we are taking steps ahead to just try to better ourselves every day, right? We hopefully have some specific goals that we say to ourselves, you know what, I think I'd like to do this or that a little bit differently in my parenting, and this is how I'm going to do that. This is how I'm going to be a better example. This is how I'm going to get my child to listen to me better, right? So I know for me, I try not to yell as much. That's one of my goals, and I try to use all the skills that I'm teaching you guys to try to get my kids to listen. It's part of the journey. So keep in mind, what am I modeling for my kids? Am I modeling the positive coping tools? Using your words. Using exercise to help relieve stress. Am I getting enough sleep at night? Those are all positive ways. Even journaling or reading, letting your child know why you're doing those things. And it helps you get your thoughts out. It helps you deal with some tough things in life if you had an especially stressful day. Let them know why you're doing those things. Why? Because that's how they learn. They learn from us. Sure, they could learn from YouTube. They could learn from social media. They could learn from their friends. They could learn from movies. But I'm pretty sure that is not the example you are raising your kids by, right? We need them to learn this very basic life skill from us as parents. So you've got to decide what your kids will be learning and how. And we're going to dive in right now. All of you guys who have toddlers out there, ready? I have quite a few strategies or tools or skills, whatever you want to call them. I seem to go back and forth between those three. I have these coping tools that work very well with toddlers. Now, keep in mind, with toddlers, it is normal and to be expected that kids, especially age 3 and under, they will have meltdowns. They will have tantrums. That's part of their development. Their brains are still growing. Their ability to communicate their emotions is still developing. So I expect and I wish to normalize for you that the meltdowns and the tantrums will occur if you have young toddlers. However, the great news is that you can start using these ideas, and as you do, and as they grow, they're going to start using these ideas more and more with you, and they will begin to help. So here's the first one. I call it the grounding technique, and no, I don't mean you're grounding them and sending them to their room. That would be silly. But when I say to ground them, help bring their five senses back into focus. I hear the water boiling on the stove. Do you hear that? I hear the birds chirping. I see the cat walking by. Ooh, I see the sun shining in the window. I taste the mint gum that I just put in my mouth. I taste the cookies that we made after we had our lunch today. I can feel the soft carpet that we're sitting on, and I can feel the hat on my head. Address the five senses, okay? Smelling is the last one. I smell that loud truck that just went by. Can you smell that? Can you stop and smell that for a minute? So when you can start talking to your toddler about the things that your five senses are giving you, things that you can hear, see, smell, taste, and touch, it helps to engage their brains in wanting to see what you're seeing and feel what you're feeling and hear what you're hearing. And it is enough to derail that tantrum to help bring them back. Trust me on this one. It is enough. And as your kids grow and they're no longer toddlers, they could do this on their own. And they may just need you to say, tell me something you hear right now. Let's stop and let's hear. What's something you smell? And you go through those five senses again, and it brings their brains back online, so to say. It's actually a medical fact that when the human brain is in tantrum mode or meltdown mode, and we are really dealing with a child who is having a flood of emotions and they just can't cope or handle it with that situation, it takes 29 minutes for the body to readjust and be able to think logically and to have a logical conversation. 29 minutes. Now you can help start that clock by using the grounding technique. And especially for toddlers, sometimes that redirection is all it takes. Something else that I encourage you to use with toddlers is a pinwheel. So these are those fun things that you see outside on some people's lawns in the summer, in the spring. And when the wind blows, it spins really quickly. So you can get handheld pinwheels and blow on it and watch it spin. So now you're showing your toddler to take a deep breath, which just naturally calms our bodies, and blow. And now they're watching the pinwheel go around and around and around. And it is a great coping tool that even I can use with myself as an adult and also older school age kids. The pinwheel is one of my favorites. I also encourage you, when you're teaching your toddler some coping tools, be a model. Show them how you're taking a break, how you're doing your deep breathing, even how you're using the pinwheel. And talk out loud about that, just like we started with this podcast today. Talk out loud so your kids know what you're doing and why you're doing it. They will learn from you, even at the toddler age. In fact, toddlers should be spoken to a lot. You're trying to develop their language. So give them some words to use to express how they're feeling and how to cope with what's going on that's making them unhappy. Something else that toddlers love, shake. And I have an exclamation point after this one. Just shake. Shake your own body. Be silly with it. Shake down to the ground and wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. You can even put some music on. Again, helps to redirect that brain, and the shaking with you being able to get the wiggles out helps our bodies kind of flush out what's going on because we're getting that movement, kind of like exercise would serve. It helps our brain chemicals to start pumping out those good chemicals to help us feel good. That's what happens when we exercise and we start moving around. Okay, so it's the same for your toddler. You're not going to put your toddler on the treadmill, but do some shaking, do some wiggling, do some dancing. It's going to help those positive chemicals create those positive feelings. This, my friend, is the launching pad to teaching your child how to select coping tools that work for them as they grow. Yes? Yes, yes, they are developing. So you have to start at the basic level. And those are some of the ways that you can do that when you have a toddler in the house. So how about if you have school age kids? One of the favorite coping tools that the school age kids enjoy doing when I see them is touchable bubbles. You could do a very easy Amazon search on touchable bubbles. And not only is blowing bubbles beneficial for the deep breaths that it takes to inhale and exhale and see how many bubbles you can blow out before that soap is gone and that little circle you're blowing through, but touchable bubbles, yes, it has all of those elements. However, the kids can catch them and they can count as they're catching each and every touchable bubble and challenge them. How many can you catch on top of one another? How many can you catch on your hands? How about on your arms? Can you catch any on your head? Talk about bringing their brains back online and then being able to have a logical conversation with them on how to solve their stressful problem. That, my friend, is being able to cope at its finest. We have stopped what was happening. We have used this coping tool of bubbles. And now we're ready to resume in a more logical state. Of course, I don't expect you to blow bubbles for 29 minutes. but it is an option to help bring your kids back. Start that process of bringing their brains back online by using this coping tool. I also have the pinwheel on the list of school age coping. Remember I said that can go up through the ages and even into adulthood. Breathing is huge. We take our deep breath in, we hold it, and then we let it out. I actually break that down into 3 seconds each. So inhale to the count of three, hold for three, exhale for three. Do it again. And when that second time is done, take 2 normal breaths and repeat the 3-second transition breathing once again. Even if you do this while you're listening to me right now, you will feel the response in your body. Your body will be calmer. Your muscles will be looser. Breathing is like a miracle for us as humans. It just helps bring that stress level down, even if you don't even realize you have any stress level going on. Your body will physically feel differently after you take a few deep breaths. It's really cool. And something that helps engage school-age kids with this tool even more is adding a hum or a buzz to this. So when they're breathing in, and you've held it for the three, and now they're breathing out, tell them to buzz like a bee as they count to three. So now we're counting, now we're breathing, now we're thinking about that buzzing sound. You could even have them do a humming sound, whatever they prefer. That combination of breathing is magic. I'm giving you all my tools today, okay? There is also at this age so many, many, many coping tools that I have developed that are actually on cards. I call them coping cards. They're colored cards and they travel with you. And the vast majority of the interventions on these coping cards are things that you can do on the spot. So if you want a copy of those coping cards, they are free. I'm just gonna send them off to you. Just email me, Barb, B-A-R-B, at behaviorcorner.com, and they are yours. Interventions, tons of tools to use with your school-age child. So how about us? How about coping tools for parents, for adults? Please, whatever you do, I want you to be aware of your coping tools, especially when you're raising kids. So I want you just to take a few minutes, whether it's now as we wrap up or when you're done with this podcast, and I want you to think, what are some ways I cope when my kids aren't listening to me, when I'm angry at my spouse, when I have a tough day at work, when the drivers on the road aren't following the rules and I'm getting irritated? What do you do? And I want you to self-reflect on what your kids may be seeing. Is it a good example? I really hope it is. Are there some things that you might want to tweak, especially when your children are around? Well, only you can decide that, but I empower you to do that. And don't be afraid to do that because time is ticking. Even if you have little itty bitty ones, and you're like, oh, whatever, whatever, they don't even realize. I guarantee you they're going to be realizing and picking up your example and modeling what you're doing much sooner than you will have thought. So the time to do this is now. It's now, okay? The big picture is what we want to look at. What is going to be helpful for our kids in the long run? So keep that in mind also. When you're being a model for your kids, is this going to help my children succeed in life in the long run? Is this a good model? Do I need to change something? Do I need to talk to my kids? Do I need to do some practicing with them? These are really great questions that only you have the answer for. Also, make sure you are getting enough sleep every night. If you are not sleeping as much as your body needs, you will be more irritable, cranky, and less likely to cope with stress in a positive way. So make sure you're getting that sleep. Also, make sure you're getting me time. Whether you like to read or watch movies or go for a run or go to the gym or get your nails done if you're a mom, do it. make sure you have some me time built into your calendar every week. Because when we know that that time for us is coming, we can look forward to it. We can relax in the fact that we're not giving every single ounce of us. There is still some left for you, for me, right? That is important. It really is. Me time is very important. Make a list. That's something else I recommend. I know sometimes when I'm stressed out and I'm overwhelmed, when I make a list of what I need to get done on a given day, it helps me cope. And this is another positive example for your kids. Now my thoughts are no longer scrambled in my mind, and the stress of thinking I may forget to do something or overwhelmed with not knowing what to do next is gone, because I have now have written it down and I can organize it on my list if I want. But just having that list itself helps coping for adults. And please know, it is okay to ask for help. True story, last weekend I sent a message and I sent it to one of my family members and I said, hey, any chance you'd like to help me find my sanity this weekend and take the kids for a few hours? Smile face. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to need a little bit more me time on a certain day if you got a lot going on. You have family and friends and neighbors, daycare people, teachers. If you need help, it's okay to ask. You have permission to ask. In fact, I empower you to engage with your support network, because it is a powerful piece to help you cope with stressors and be the best parent that you can be to your kids. If you want to flush any of this out any further, please feel free to email me. Again, my email address is barb@behaviorcorner.com. So until next time, my friends, I encourage you to be brilliant and empowered in all that you do along our parenting journey.
Thank you for joining us. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Come and visit us on our other social media platforms, including our fan page found on Facebook, Behavior Corner LLC, and our amazing closed group where even more goodness happens at Raising Kids, Behavior Solutions That Work. And of course, a shout out to Barb is always available at barb@behaviorcorner.com.